This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
We have a battle with the enemy. We need the armor of God. And so having done everything you can, and there's standing alone for Jesus, the idea of how to be prepared to stand alone when the evil day comes. The Bible speaks about an evil day for us. We're to stand up for Jesus. We know that. And hymn number 477 gives us that. That you would look upon us, and as we look at this, your precious word, that we might be able to hear and understand and get some preparation needed for the day, as you've said in the scripture here, the evil day. We need help, and Father, we realize it comes first with knowing Jesus Christ and knowing Him savingly and having a new birth, a new agenda. We pray that you would encourage us tonight. Strengthen us. May you be pleased. May the Spirit have free course with us and teach us. We are cognizant of we're living in the last days, and evil men shall wax worse and worse, and the powers that be, and the spiritual powers are doing their best to deter the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So help us tonight. And may your will be accomplished in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 13, Ephesians 6. These are introductory remarks before putting on God's armor. I start with verse 10 and reading in chapter
6 to verse 10 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. May God's word be a blessing to us tonight as we look at this. I think of this matter of having to stand alone on things. Well, Peggy, she said she had an MRI in the hospital, and she said one of the worst things that ever happened to her. And when you're in those places, you are alone, aren't you? There are times when you experience alone. Sometimes you're at a gathering and you're the only Christian there. It might be a family reunion. I hope not. It might be at the workplace. Seems like everybody is not interested, but you know Christ, you love the Lord. Or you might come to a time where, if life is like it is, you'll lose your spouse. And that can be some horrible thing. Or the death of not only a spouse, but when you walk through the valley, the shadow of death. Yes. All alone. But there's our blessed Lord Jesus. I want to encourage you with that. There's a proverbial saying, if you want any help with it, it's the end of your wrist. You need a helping hand, it's the end of your wrist. Some people don't care much about whether how you do. In the Bible, many of the heroes of the faith that we love so much, they experienced loneliness. And we just sang about David, or Daniel. And Daniel in the lion's den. He was alone, my friends, until we found out God was with him. I tell you, Paul, he said, you know, they all forsook me. Well, Paul, I don't care. He said, listen, in that day in the Roman court, that you could have people stand up for you. And he established a work in Rome, and there are people there that love the Lord in Rome. And he said that the day came, nobody stood up. Nobody was there to stand up for him. I hope none of these things happen to you. You know, Elijah, there he was. And he was the only one there, and all the prophets of Baal. Whole slew of them. So, this business that we sang that hymn, those hymns, one of them said, I'll never, no, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It's the Hebrews. Great passage. Where he also said, although I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, he promises us. And so there's encouragement here. And I just want to say this. Sometimes we, as a small church, we feel like the lone spire on the roof. But you think that maybe we're not smart enough to understand that if we would just quit talking about sin and hell and have some entertainment, we could probably have a great crowd. You know that, don't you? So, I want to say this off. First, we need to get down to the basic foundation. What's the basic foundation for the last part of Ephesians 6:13? And that he says, you take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, I'd like to know more about that. I almost feel a little foolish because I'm not a scientist. But Bob gave this little radio. I hope it works, Robert. I did turn it on one time. Uh-oh. But I want to show you something. Yeah.
It's a locker room field production by Dave Thankford Stats.
You don't need to hear what's saying. Isn't that strange? It's a... Well, I don't see those... That wavelength, what's the matter with me? It's full of wavelengths. I could go to, I don't know how many stations I can get on this. I don't see them. Do you see them? Turn the TV on. I even get color that's in the air. Must be something about, yeah, it's receptors. And unless you have the receptor, that God gives you by the new birth, it is, you say, well, it sounds like, you know, doesn't mean anything, just rattles and so forth. You can be preaching, you have an orator, and a guy can be really great, and he can be funny, and he can still give the gospel, but I don't understand it. What? Couldn't you understand that? You got A in school? I don't understand what he's trying to say. I don't particularly enjoy what he had to say either. I'll tell you what the problem is. The truth, God's word is here, is, you know, as we preach it from this pulpit, God is speaking, here is his word, and some people can't get anything out of it. You say, well, it's a preacher's fault. Not if he's preaching God's word. Something else, you need a receptor, you need a change, you need a new heart so that you can hear God's word and see God's word. Like you do your TV and the radio. Do you have that? Has he given you a receptor? And you can hear, understand God's word and see what he means? Boy, that's foundational. And there's, as I said, there are sights and sounds in this old room. And you can't get it unless you have a receiver. And you need to have a new birth. You need to be regenerated, as the scripture puts it. And you've got to come alive. You're dead in trespasses and sin. And when Jesus Christ comes in by way of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can understand the word of God. You understand why your neighbor doesn't understand you? I don't know. And so we're in this realm of Ephesians 5, and this is not play day. I want to get to it, but I think we do need some foundational work. I'd like to jump right in and start taking these pieces of the Roman soldier warfare that he wears, but I want to tell you something, friends. You better get ready. And a ready is first by knowing the Lord Jesus. Now, if you come to know Christ your Savior, I want to tell you something. You may find after a period of time things are not very pleasant. Well, you shouldn't say that, preacher. You should tell how glorious it is. Oh, yes, there's joy unspeakable, full of glory. But the haps, sometimes the haps can really get rough on us. Happenstances, happiness. Some days it's not, but the haps are not good. And you'll find that you might experience some unpleasantness of those around about you and say, hey, listen, I don't know what you're trying to say. I don't particularly want to hear it. Just go on. Or they may do something even more persecuting you in a different way even than that. And so here we have. You know, one thing that 1 John just keeps hammering away, God's word telling, he said, you know the old world? Yes. Do you know what the world's all about? Well, I know something, Lord. And in 1 John, it goes over and over about the world, telling Christians about the world. Well, maybe we ought to just go back there because some of us get a little dull is 1 John and see what's all the problems about the world. The world's beautiful. Look at those trees out there. I don't know what's so upsetting about the world. Well, we're not talking. We're talking about the cosmos. We're not talking about the trees and the beauty of it. And in 1 John, a couple of passages, I want you to see something. Because this world that's talked about in 1 John is trying to lure us back. I know Jesus is my Savior. I love the Lord. You do? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to experience a situation where the world will try to lure you back. Well, I don't know about that. Well, look at 1 John. Take the second chapter. Well, verse 16, 1 John 2, 16, for all that is in the world, what's the world? All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Christians, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Tell me if that's no big deal. Don't say that. That's a big deal. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. See, I don't know why you want to be anxious about being a Christian. You know, I don't understand you guys, you people. Boy, the world is saying, now you can't have any fun, you can't enjoy yourself, and you're going to be old, crabby deacons or preachers. No. That's talk of the world. But 1 John also says some other things. We'll go to the third chapter of 1 John and see if we can learn something more about this old world that wants to lure us back after we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it's a powerful thing. Look at verse 13 of the third chapter of 1 John. What's it say? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Hate me. Man, I'm a nice guy, don't you know? You get to know Jesus Christ, and you have a different, you're a different receptor, and you talk about the Lord Jesus, pretty soon somebody says, I don't want that. I don't like that. Just stop it. Look at the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter of 1 John, and look at that fourth verse. And what does it say? It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4. Wait a minute. 4. 5. I read the wrong verse. Pardon me. 1 John 5. But 1 John 4 was good too. Whole book is about this subject. And in this 1 John 5 here, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so I'm not at lost. If I can learn what it's talking about in verse 4, then I could say, well, I want to tell you that if you've been born of God, you can overcome the world. Ooh. You mean the world, the flesh, and the pride of life? I can overcome it. You can. And there's a victory that overcometh the world. It's by faith. I need to learn more about that, don't you think? You know, the world is an enemy. The world's talking about here. And the world wants you to satisfy your old flesh. But the bottom line is, it's Satan. He's your real enemy. So what do I care? You better care. The Bible is saying you've got to learn how to fight back. Ooh. You mean I have to fight? Yes. Well, I thought the Lord Jesus is going to do it. He'll help you. But it's one of those things of human responsibility and divine sovereignty. If you're just going to sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I don't worry about it. Jesus is going to take care of me. He will take care of us. He'll protect us. But you'll find that you better obey him. And you better learn how to fight against these things that will try to have you fall away from our Lord Jesus. Tell me a little more about the war, will you? Do you want to know a little more about this war? Look at verses 10 through 13 again. Just keep this in mind. This is God's word. I'm now going to go back to Ephesians. I'm in chapter 6. I want to look at 10 through 13 again because I just think you need to keep looking at this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. Yes. And in the power of his might. Yes. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, shenanigans of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. I'm telling you, that's a loaded verse. If I were to take the time to study that, you'd say, preacher, you've been preaching it. I'd be preaching it for quite a while. That's a loaded verse. And so applicable to the day in which we live. And so, you know, it talks about in high places in verse 12. Yes, it does. Rulers of darkness, of this verse 12. Notice, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Like where? Well, the universities, colleges. Oh, come on. I mean, you get an education, you'll be somebody. Yeah. You'll come out probably being a communist. My grandson goes to college or university, and he says, you know, my history professor is a communist. Does he know what he's talking about? He sure does. Well, what's it talk about there? The last part of verse 12? It talks about this fight, this war, has to do with spiritual wickedness in high places. How about the business world? Yes, sir. Did the banks pull one on us? They said they really didn't need the help, but they pulled it on us. Oh, those guys with ties on and suits and nice haircuts. Yeah, hey. How about in politics? What? People in high places. Look at it. Read for yourself. Spiritual wickedness where? In high places. The Bible says that's true. It sure does. Verse 12 of Ephesians 6. Well, it talks about the rulers of this world, the darkness of this world. High places. Powerful. Powerful. I couldn't help but think that doctor down in Fort Hood, an MD, a psychiatrist, and what he did. And some of you people think that, oh, the doctor can never be wrong. Whatever he says, you got to do it. It's the law. They're next to God. You better listen, friends. You better pay up what the word is. Listen to what the word of God is saying about this darkness in high places in the world. The Bible is saying that they are wicked. And look at wickedness in verse 12. They're wicked. They have an agenda that's wicked. And they use that power that they have to destroy. Their desire, the spiritual powers are desirous of destruction. And they like to kill you if you know Jesus Christ. Get rid of you. They hate the light. I'm not proud of this, but in the old days, as a young fellow in bar rooms, you go in there and the lights are all turned down. It was worried about the light bill. It wasn't worried about the light bill. You know why they love the darkness? Because their deeds are evil. You don't believe that, do you? Look at the verse and tell me you don't believe these things. They hate the light. And darkness is their natural habitat. And wickedness is their diet. The spirits, the fallen spirits, it's talking about here in verse 12, the principalities, their diet is wickedness. And we're in a battle. And there's that one verse that I think that you could spend a lot of time on, and that is in verse 11, that word wiles, W-I-L-E-S. That means schemes, the schemings. What's it say? It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's been around a long time. Woo-wee, long time. See, I'm going to quit. No use trying to battle with a man who's been around a long time, or a creature. But he's shrewd, and he is deceptive, and he's dangerous. It's like the Bible speaks about him as being as a dangerous wolf in the sheep's pen. The Bible speaks about it be found in the churches. I'd like to talk about that. And he's disguised as a sheep. Yeah. Yeah. He is in the sheep pen and he's disguised as a sheep. And who is that? The devil? You talk about Halloween costumes. Better talk about some of what the Bible talks about. Well, he's a dangerous wolf. Sometimes he roars like a lion. What's a lion roar for? Roar. What's he roaring for? To intimidate you. Make you stand. So he can get you. The creatures in the jungles, when they hear the lion, they stop. That's what he wants. To intimidate. Why am I telling you this? Because some people don't really believe there is a war. They don't believe you really got to fight. We have to. We have to learn these things. And if that doesn't do it, he could act like a snake or a serpent. Very subtle. Very subtle. Bam! fact of the matter is. WVIA is having a program tonight on the most dangerous snake in the world. It'd be probably a good thing to look at that, to learn something about the most dangerous snake in the world, on nature. Maybe if the preacher gets done here, maybe we can hear him. I don't hear it. I don't know. But anyway, these wiles. There are all kinds of things. One of the things of the wiles is that, hey, the devil doesn't believe that preacher. What does he know about? Did he ever see the devil? The devil doesn't exist. And that's what they're teaching us. It's just an old fable that people pass down through the years. What does God say about it? This is God's word. Who are you going to believe? Forget it. It's just fairy tales. No, it's not fairy tales. You better get that out. You're going to find out what a whop you'll get if you don't pay attention. And but you know what? These tactics, I did spend some time telling you his two main tactics is murder and also mixture. I did go over that, but that's still very good. And down through the Bible, you can read it again and again. I tried to kill, well, Moses, and then there was Joseph, right on down. There was Jeremiah, right on down, how to get rid of them. It is one of the schemes of the devil. He'd like to get rid of you, too, if you love the Lord Jesus and you're speaking up for him, as you should. We talked about Daniel before, and then we talked about the Lord Jesus as a baby. How about all the apostles? What happened to them? They were martyred, most part. What about the church leaders? Yeah, them too. Well, you better learn about this warfare. If the truth is not given, it gets to a place where it becomes obsolete or it's diminished. And what happens really is people don't know this mixture of compromising. Hey, listen, this is what you do. This is what the church is doing. They don't want to hear these truths. They don't want to hear about sin and hell. And they don't want to hear about the devil. That's just honky-ponk. And so they say, what we need to do, hey, it didn't take a brain. What we need to do is, hey, we ought to try some of the things that the world finds successful. You know, come on. You old guys, wise up a little bit. Bring in some modern day things. Man, old day. Bring in the rock and roll and all that. You know, truth then goes out the back door for the most part. Just enough of religion smeared into it to make you think it's good. This is what's going on in compromise and mixture. Most people don't even know that. As long as they have a Bible up there in the pulpit, hey, this is a good church. The Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and I'll be a father to you. Some people don't want to come out. They want to stay in the old liberal modernist churches where they're not preaching the gospel, tearing the word of God down, saying it's all mythology, making fun of the truths of the word of God, and they stay in. The Bible says, come on, get out of there. Well, mommy took me in as a baby. I've heard guys say that. You got to obey God. And as we heard this morning, it's true, the Bible talks about the daughters of the old harlot, they're going back. Yes, sir. You want to document it? The Methodists, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, and the Roman Catholics all agree that they believe the doctrine of justification by faith. As they all agree on that. They don't. Oh, come on. They're numb about the truth. They still believe you need to do works to get to heaven. The schemes, that's what I'm talking about. Now I heard a combine working today, and from my understanding, he's a Mennonite. Let's see, what is today? This is Jesus' day. Yep. This day you should give yourself to worship of God, do deeds of mercy. But it's such a lovely day, and you got to take care of the harvest. That's a desecration of the Lord's Day. Don't be a hard head about it, but it is. And people just desecrate the Lord's Day, go shopping, do their thing. Hey, it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. You and I are going to give an account. Christians won't give an account. Oh, yes, we will. And to have the Lord say, I'm not pleased the way you treated my day. Well, we need to learn how Satan really does work and how to put up a good fight. Talk about a good fight. When I was in high school, I did a little boxing. Not much. Until the last time I got hit right here. And I thought I had that guy pretty well covered, and he nailed me right here. When you get nailed right there, your arms go down and you go woogie. Well, let me tell you something. In the TV, there is such a thing called kickboxing. That's horrible stuff. They wrestle, they kick, they fight, and oh man, bloody. You say, well, what's that have to do with the passage? Those guys go out there and beat themselves up. And you mean that this Christian life, there's no problems? You mean they can go out there and just fight? No, they practice. You don't go out and run a race without being conditioned. And we Christians need to get conditioned. And the way to get conditioned, as far as I'm concerned, is to come to where the Word of God is preached. Hear me now. I'm an old man. Come where the Word of God is preached and get prepared that you'll be able to live the Christian life in such a way to please the Lord God. And you know the best way to do it is to get together with the Christians. And as it says there, that Christians can challenge one another, encourage one another. I really believe it's down my heart that every time that door is open and there's gospel preaching, you ought to be there. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't? What do you mean it doesn't? Why don't you show me where it says it, then you shouldn't meet together. Well, that just means Sunday morning. Oh, thank you very much. Nice to tell me that. I said, oh man, I didn't know that. And that's not right either. You got to get prepared. You say, well, I'm old, I've been through the ropes, I know how to do kickboxing, I know how to fight the devil. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's been around a while. He'll show you what your old gray hair amounts to. You better listen up. All of us better listen up. And some of the tactics that he uses in the church, I know, is this unforgiving spirit. Oh, man. Schemes. Look at it. It says wiles. It's verse 11. I'm talking about those things that the devil does. And he said that they belong. The devil promotes it. Let's see. 70 times 7, Lord? Yeah. Woo, that's a lot of forgiving. He did me wrong. 70 times 7. Now, how many times did you sin against the Lord? Oh, how would I know? How about 7,000 times 7? What's wrong with us that we can't forgive one another? I like the passage, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You say, uh-huh, I'll say something to your preacher, and you're thin-skinned, and you'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. But I'm not supposed to really get offended. I love this book. Well, that sounds very good. Well, get prepared. Preparation is necessary. I can tell you that. I tell you, the seducing of people from the faith is just an active thing. In Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 20, there's this passage that you read and say, well, that's not fair. Lord God, that's... And you say, now, careful now. He can do what he wants to do. But we may look at that passage of the, you know, it has to do with the day workers. You're familiar with Matthew 20 and the day workers. there in, what is it, verses 14 and 15, you say, well, it's not fair. He said, when you take that thine is and go thy way, I will give unto this this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So I can't understand that. The guy started early morning and he got the same pay as the guy came last hour or so of job. You know, that can cause a lot of problems. That day labor type of thing. The people get disappointed. Say, that's not fair. They get angry. They get jealous. They get covetous. I'm talking still about in the confines of a Christian atmosphere. That these things are very prevalent. That's not right. But the Lord says, hey, listen. Then don't forget, the bottom line is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? I don't know, Lord. I don't seem to have a break like that. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I with my own? I tell you, you need to be careful that we don't have what we call character assassination. Because the devil is behind that. He's the accuser of the brethren. He brings about hate and lies. Bad behavior and profession of faith. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He's a real Christian. But he, some things aren't right about him. Well, he needs to grow and she needs to grow. But some people are really hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Wearing a Halloween face mask. That's a hypocrite. And you can put on a real nice hypocritical face. I'm a real smiley, happy Christian. But what am I at home? With my wife, with my family, with my underservants, in my business. Well, we're very vulnerable, you know that? I've had people, the children said, you know, the church service is too long around here. Too long, a preacher preaches too long. We'd go someplace where it's so long. We don't have to have it so long. The husband says, you know, I'm getting kind of tired. I work all week and go to church and hear an hour of that. Or she says, I'm tired of it, and tells the husband. He may be happy. He appreciates the word of God, but she may not be happy. She says, I think we ought to go someplace where we have some sophistication, not a hole in a wall. And we've experienced some of that too around here. Why are you telling us these things? Get prepared. There's a battle. I'm showing you what it's like. And understand, so when that day comes, then you may experience it all alone, that you'll be prepared. That's where I want to be. I want to be prepared. Leadership, that's another area. That's a good place to divide and conquer, is leadership. Well, I tell you, in warfare, I think that if I were on the other side, I'd go for the top brass. I really would. And you say, well, what does the preacher need prayer for? I need prayer. I don't mind telling you, I need a lot of prayer. Well, we all need prayer. I'm telling you, as far as the wars are going on, it's just to somehow or other, let's get rid of it. Let's start at the top with the preaching, or the elders, the deacon. Are we going to have a congratulation fellowship, preacher? Yep. I got a few more things to say. Before this evil day in Ephesians, I want to go to that evil day. Where? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. The last part. What is the evil day? What does this last part of verse 13 really mean, Ephesians 6? And what? That ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. You've done all you could, and yet to stand there. What is this day? Well, it could be a lot of things, the evil day. it could be a day, and I want to tell you this very carefully if I can, that it may be that a painful illness hit you. The doctor says, well, looks to me, you know, you got cancer, fella. Don't tell me that won't be an evil day. And sometimes that evil day can so materialize that your faith just kind of leaves too. After all I've done for the Lord, and now I have to put up with this cancer. And there are people who leave right there, their faith. That's the end of that thing. It's an evil day. But I want to tell you something carefully. That can be the activity of the devil. Not every case. But I want to tell you something. He can perform things. I ought to spend some time there tonight. But he can bring about a sickness, an illness. Do you believe that? If you don't, we ought to spend some time to show you that there have cases that is so. Disability can be that of the enemy. There are cases in the Bible that says this. And I don't have the verses before me. Maybe you ought to take it to the Lord in prayer rather than running to the medicine cabinet or to the first opening a doctor has. It may be that it's a satanic attack. It'd be nice if we were wise enough about these matters and be prepared. Or it may be a death, as I said, not only disability, but maybe a death of a loved one. I don't even want to talk about that, do you? A spouse. People will say, well, I don't have any time for God anymore. I don't have time for God. I tell you, dear friends, I've been talking about the scripture here, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. Don't tell me you know all about that. You do not, and nor do I. There is such thing as the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus. That's power. The Bible teaches it. I taught it the last time, but for time's sake, I'll not go over it again tonight. The matter of persecution, the Martyrs magazine that the librarian has for you, it's very real. Some people are caught by surprise, but Christians are targets for attacks. I tell you this, it may get worse, especially as fast as this present day administration is causing, and I have facts for this. How he seems to be going against it more and more, the Word of God. And I'm not really a politician, but I'm telling you it's going pretty bad. And the Constitution of the United States. If you think that that's just something I picked out of the air, you do a little study yourself and you'll find out how wrong you are if that's not true. Well, what is an evil day? An evil day can be a day of temptation. Did you know that? Like what? Well, like cheating. No. I've taught school. I know what cheaters are in school. I know what they are in college. I know there are exams that by the fraternities, you can tell pretty much what the exam is going to be, the professor is going to give in sociology, if you belong to the college. College what?
Fraternity.
Thank you. That's a senior moment there. This is true. Cheating in school, cheating at work, cheating in business. You got to be really careful about businessmen. Oh, don't say that. I'm telling you. Do you know anything about the depravity? Do you know about some people, they may have a smiley face, and you say they're really great guys. They might have an education, but if they understand the depravity of men, they're there to do something harm to you. And then one of the most leading things is cheating by sex. No, we don't want to talk about that, do we? No. Preacher, don't talk about that. The Bible's full of it. Be prepared for the evil day. But I say get fortified. You can't get too much of the Word of God to be fortified in the evil day, whatever it is. These lies about God. The lie that's been in the last few years that God is a woman. Can you imagine that? Big shots teaching that God is a woman. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm telling you something, Sophia. You say, well, they must be goonies. No, they're religiously, they're big folk. All kinds of things about God. Are you ready to answer? I think we need to be ready in advance. And that's why I don't get in a big hurry here. I like to get into this and get out of it and go somewhere else and keep going. But you know something? I learned something. Two things. You don't see the forest because of the trees. What's that mean? That I spend all time in a passage, little words, little things, and you don't see the overall picture of the book. I'm giving you, finally, brother, this is the overall picture of the book. You can see the forest, and here are the trees. And we're looking at the trees, but we haven't lost the picture. And that is that we might be able to stand in when we're alone in the evil day. That's what the last part of Ephesians says. Finally, my brethren, you know that, don't you? Verse 10, finally. This is the end he's talking about for us. Get this armor on. And then, do all that you can and then stand. I've had people challenge you and they stand. The guys are taught this and they stand. You try to push me down. Go ahead. You think you're tough? Put me down. He's standing there. I don't mean to hit him on the head with a club, but try to put him down. He's stand. And that is to be all alone. You know, yeah, I got a few minutes yet. Real quickly. There are cases in history, and I'm not a history buff, but I do like history, especially World War II, and I have a few books in the library that I can let share with you about the Oregon Force, that war there in Germany. You know about that in 1944? Yeah, I heard about it. Do you know that we were so sure that we won the battle, so to speak? What do you mean? The Americans were so convinced that we had won the war in 1944, and then it came into the Oregon Force, and you know the Germans were smart enough to get all their tanks without us knowing it. And I tell you, that was a battle. Boy, we really took a beating. It got so bad that one of the German big shots sent in a jeep with white flags flying. That meant we got something to say to you. Don't shoot. They came in, what did it say? Very nicely written up in English about that you're surrounded and the honorable thing would be for you to surrender and have a peaceful situation. Convincing. Yeah. They really thought they had us. Read it for yourself. And what did the commanding officer send? What was the note he sent back to them?
Nuts.
Nuts. Stand alone when everything's against you and say, nuts. I'm going to stand here for the Lord. And I'm prepared to stand. If you think this is child's play, it isn't going to happen. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be understand that we're at war, if you know Christ. I want you to understand you need to get prepared as I need to be prepared for attack. We need to be able to endure and stand firmly when we've done all we could, and especially get this armor of God on us so that we can really go at it. My friends, maybe we'll now start studying about the armor of God. But there's so much in these verses. Three verses, four verses that could be brought forth. He said, I'll be with you. We are delighted tonight, Father, that we have this privilege of coming to the throne of grace and mercy through our Lord Jesus. Thank you for him and his work at Calvary. Thank you for his work in interceding for us. Thank you for his Spirit, the Spirit of God. How we need help. May the message tonight help us to understand further that there is this warfare, we need preparation and to be fortified. Help us to be serious about it, Lord. And then the delightful occasion, these loved ones, friends and children, grandchildren, and we thank you for them, and we desire that they may have your best spiritually and emotionally and physically, Lord, your favor upon them, that they also would enhance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, once again, for our time of fellowship, receive our thanks. Thanks for the refreshments. And Lord, may you continue to work in our hearts individually and collectively. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.